All right, here we go. It is Friday afternoon, December the 14th, heading into the weekend. I know many of you have a lot of stuff to do because the holidays are here. I think I need to start my Christmas shopping really soon. I'm going to get on that. All right, we have a lot to talk about. It's free for all Friday. So really, we can talk about anything. And I try not to really plan the show, so we don't know where the hell the show is going to go. Got some great bumper music planned for you this afternoon. I'll be telling you about that. And so right now, you know what it's time for. Yeah, time to crank it up, because this is what we've all been working for. All right, so I've got some interesting bumper music planned for today. One of them is we're going to do a series. We're going to do a series of the segments from Santa Claus and His Old Lady. That's going to start at 2 o'clock. And going in and out of the first four breaks, I'm going to play segments from Santa Claus and His Old Lady. It's 6 minutes and 25 seconds. I mean, this was when I was doing music radio. This was one of the bathroom songs. You put this on and you had time to run to the bathroom. So we're not going to play the whole thing, but I want to just give you enough of it so you feel like you've heard it. And for those of you who are new to Santa Claus and His Old Lady, I mean, I guess there are people that have not heard this timeless classic. It's by Cheech and Chong. And Cheech and Chong were real dopers. I mean, they smoked a lot of pot and they did drugs. Well, at least their characters did. I think they did in real life, too. But I don't know for sure. But anyway, so they did this song, Santa Claus and His Old Lady. It's a Christmas tradition. And it's about this guy, Santa Claus. And, you know, one of them thinks, oh, man, you're talking about that musician, Santa. No, man, Santa Claus is not a musician. Anyway, so it's fun. I love it. I remember when it first came out. And we're going to play a series of segments from that coming up in the next hour. Also, there is a Vermont man who is very frustrated with his city's reluctance to give him a permit to move his truck repair and recycling business to his property. So the Vermont man paid an artist $3,000 to make a wooden sculpture of a fist with the middle finger raised up. He put it on a pole with lights on his front lawn. And people have been stopping by all hours to see it. Many are stopping to take pictures. Do you support the guy's effort to tell off his city? If it doesn't impact or break any of the rules from, say, the neighborhood, then so what? I mean, is it? And what if your kids saw that? What if they saw the fist with the middle finger stick out? I mean, would you be able to explain that to them? Also, I want to talk about the Sesame Street puppet Lily. She's a new puppet. She's homeless. And again, it's confusing to me. She was on Sesame Street a long time ago, but now she's going to be a regular. And I guess I'm confused because this guy Oscar's been living in a garbage can, so I always assumed that he was homeless. But Lily is a 7-year-old girl whose family has lost their house. And she is supposed to help children better understand being homeless. Isn't this a good idea? Or if you don't like the idea, what's wrong with it? And is Sesame Street going to teach our children about life? And if that's the case, what other puppets should Sesame Street consider introducing? Now, look, I know this audience, and I know you guys know how to have fun. And I know many of you are very, very creative. So let's have fun with this. We're going to do this in the next hour. I want you to be thinking about this. If Lily is homeless and she teaches the children about being homeless, not to encourage them to be homeless, but to teach empathy and understanding for the homeless, then, you know, let's just think of the other puppets that maybe Sesame Street should consider introducing to help teach children about life. It was on this day in 1980, fans around the world paid tribute to John Lennon. This was 6 days after he was shot to death in New York City. Silent vigils were held at 1 o'clock New Orleans time for 10 minutes. And I do remember this. I was on the air then, right here in New Orleans. This was at the request of John Lennon's widow, Yoko Ono. So as we reflect back on that, whose death really hurt the music world? Sadly, you know, some people die, and it's tragic, but it doesn't really impact the music world. I think the death of John Lennon did. I think the death of Kurt Cobain did impact the music world. So we'll talk about that in the final hour. And as I say, it's free for all Friday. So we're going to review some of the things that we talked about this week, some of the craziness. And we can really talk about whatever you want to talk about. If you want to join our show with your comment, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, like kids haven't seen that before, a fist with the middle finger. I mean, I know. You know, I don't think I would want that up in my neighborhood, but, I mean, the guy, if it's not against the neighborhood policies, the guy has a right to put that up. And so I would think that, you know, if you're a parent and a kid sees that, you know, we talk about this often. You got to have an answer for your kids. And don't blame it on the guy who put something up. Oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to tell my child. You shouldn't have done that. So I think it's OK for us to have answers for our children, because that's your role as a parent. I'm already getting text about who's the musical death that really did impact music. Elvis, another one, Michael Jackson and Elvis, another one, Prince. So we are going to be talking about that. Here's a text that says, this is about Sesame Street should introduce. Maria and Jose, Mexican kids stuck behind the fence at the border. Okay, that's interesting. Here's our Blue Rider Foods poll question. Is strong political disagreement a legitimate reason to get divorced or end a relationship? So far, 75% say no, 25% say yes. And that brings us to our first topic. White House advisor, senior advisor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, battled it out with CNN's Chris Cuomo during his primetime show this week on CNN. Cuomo quoted sources saying that Donald Trump was at the meeting when hush money was being discussed for the women who Trump allegedly had affairs with while he was married. Conway said very passionately that the president never directed Michael Cohen to break the law. And she defended him, saying the president did not lie about this. Well, I mean, it seems like the president himself is kind of proving her wrong. But here's what I find interesting about this, and I want this to be more about this than the political discussion. Kellyanne's husband, George, tweeted out right after the show on CNN that Trump has repeatedly lied about the payments to Daniels and McDougal. And he said in the tweet, quote, he virtually lies about everything else to the point that his former personal lawyer is describing him as a blanking liar. But it wasn't the word blanking. It was really that word. Okay, so if you're married, you're in a relationship, and you're in a situation like this, and Kellyanne Conway is passionately defending the president, as she does. Sometimes she doesn't really have a very strong case, but she does a good job at what she does. And then your husband tweets out a rebuttal to what you say on the news. Could you stay in this marriage? Is political disagreement a legitimate reason to get divorced or end a relationship? That is our Blue Rider Foods poll question. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon about anything we're talking about, it is Free for All Friday. Our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Yeah, I would think I'd have to bring up the divorce word if I were married to Kellyanne Conway. I mean, isn't there somebody that you see and you could just never be married to that person? And look, I'm smart enough to know that there are a lot of people that could never be married to me. In fact, I know that factually. I know that for a fact, I have firsthand information with this, firsthand experience. There are people who cannot be married to me. I get it. But that's not going to stop me from talking about others who I could never be married to. And Kellyanne Conway is one of them. So her husband, George, tweets out this rebuttal of what she had just said on CNN with Chris Cuomo that night. And so he goes to Twitter and basically contradicts everything she said. So is a strong political disagreement a legitimate reason to get divorced or end a relationship? That's our Blue Rider Foods poll question right now. 58% say no. 42% say yes. Give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. From Lakeview, John, you're on WWL.
to answer your question specifically, I would say no, because, as a matter of fact, my wife and I disagree politically. However, the fact that we disagree privately is one thing.
Yeah.
To listen to your wife in a public forum, make an opinion, and then go out on that public forum to counter what she says, to basically trying to discredit what she just said, is way over the line.
Well, and that's the way I see it, John, because there are people like you who disagree with their wife or their partner, their lover.
And that's okay.
And that is okay. I mean, that happens. But to me, when it reaches this level, it's like, man, I'd have to say, hey, babe, it's over. You're on your own. I'm done.
I mean, he basically tried to publicly discredit her,
yeah,
which is so, so far out of line.
And it's not the first time he's done it. I mean,
more patient than my spouse would be, I can tell you that much. In fact, I'm surprised, actually, that his crap wasn't out on the front patio when he got home.
I know, because it doesn't, you know, what we see of Kellyanne Conway on the news, I mean, you get the impression that she doesn't put up with much. She's pretty strong.
Apparently, she puts up with more than we think she does.
All right, John, I appreciate the call. Have a nice weekend. Yeah, in fact, coming up out of the news break, another song by Tammy Wynette. Come on, you know that song. Another song by Tammy Wynette has a lot to do with what we're talking about right now, so that's coming up from New Orleans. Bobby, welcome to our show.
Good afternoon, Scooty. You're my favorite guy.
Well, I appreciate that, Bobby. I don't let everybody call me Scooty, you know.
Oh, well, I hope you're not getting thin skin over that.
Well, I'm not.
I expect that.
I'm going to let you call me that.
Okay. All right. But anyway, to get back to the president and that lady, what's her name?
Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah, I think she's close to the president, and she knows him personally. I mean, I can understand all of the United States hating the president, but, you know, I love him. The people of New Orleans love the president. I know he makes mistakes, but everybody's got to give him a break and pray for him. Wouldn't you get scared if you was president of America when there are all these people coming at you with all kinds of stuff? Your brain can't think of them meeting conversation for conversation. So the best thing he could do is try to just get out of it. Because he makes mistakes. Everybody make mistakes, and you got to work with the president. He's the best guy that we've had so far from the Bush family, and you just got to give him a break.
All right, Bobby. I hope you have a good weekend. Thanks for calling.
Same to you, brother. That's bad talking about the man that's leading the country.
Yeah, well,
we got to support the man.
Well, sometimes he does things that you just can't avoid talking about. Sometimes he says things you just can't avoid because it's coming from the president. Forget that it's Donald Trump. Anything that comes from the president of the United States that comes from this one, I mean, you got to comment on it.
Scoot, when you get backed up against the wall by your own wife doing an argument and you can't win, yes. Throw out all kinds of words to ease the conversation.
Well, I understand that. But, you know, when you're president of the United States, man, don't you think you should, like, get to the point where you're not really that backed up in a corner? And one of the simple things the president could do, I don't care how much you love President Trump, but he lies. He's deceitful about things that happened. And he's so obviously saying, I never did that. And then it's like, oh, I did it. And then it's like, oh, well, I did it, but it's not illegal. There's nothing wrong with it. Well, why lie about it in the first place? Why just not be honest?
If they want to hear a comment, it's natural for a man to be scared. It's natural for all men. He ain't the first one to be scared. No comment. That's much better. No comment. Every man fits Donald Trump's shoes. Don't they ever forget it. They're going to go through it one time or another, no matter who or what. So they got to stop doing that.
There are times that I have been scared. I'm sure there are times that every man and every woman has been scared.
That's right.
Bobby, I'm glad you called.
You're welcome.
You too. If you've got a comment, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text. Can you help me? Is the Roosevelt Hotel with the Christmas decorations in walking distance from the Jacksbury? If so, how far? You know, I would say it's walking distance. I'm going to have to guess the blocks here. Let me just put it this way. I think it's probably at a good pace, maybe a 10-minute walk, maybe 12, 15 if you just want to take it out. You know, I mean, you can, as you walk through the French Quarter, you can enjoy all that there is to see in the French Quarter. As you walk toward the Roosevelt, it's really not that far. I mean, I walk distances like that every day, living and working downtown and going out downtown. And it really is worth it. I mean, the Roosevelt lobby is really, 15 minutes? That's what somebody's saying, 15 minutes? Oh, okay. Oh, so Tim Zimmer just Googled it, and it says a 15-minute walk. I mean, I walk fast, so I could do it probably a little quicker. I like to walk fast. But yeah, a 15-minute walk. Okay, thanks for that information, Tim. And look, it's not like you're walking through downtown Omaha, Nebraska. I mean, you're walking through the French Quarter of New Orleans to get there. So there's going to be a lot to see. And it really is beautiful. I was in there the other night, and there are some really great hotel lobbies. In fact, one night this week, I'll get the video guy, and we're going to go out on Facebook, and we're going to do some live Facebook feeds on our WWL Radio Facebook page from different hotel lobbies around the city. And we'll end with the Roosevelt. But the Ritz-Carlton, the Monteleone, there are so many downtown that have really nice lobbies. So we're going to do a little tour of some of the hotel lobbies, but the Roosevelt is really very, very beautiful. If you're on hold, stay with us. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. I'm Scoot. It is a Friday afternoon, and we're coming right back on WWL. That's what Kellyanne Conway, senior advisor to President Trump, is doing. She's standing by her man, George Conway. Kellyanne was on CNN this week on Chris Cuomo's show in prime time, and Cuomo was quoting sources saying that Donald Trump was in the meeting where the hush money was discussed for the women that he allegedly had sex with while he was married. And Conway passionately defended the president, saying that he never lied and he never told Michael Cohen, never directed Michael Cohen to break the law. Well, Kellyanne's husband, George, tweeted right after the show that Trump has repeatedly lied about the payments to Daniels and McDougal and virtually lies about everything else, to the point that his former personal lawyer described him as a blanking liar. Now, I mean, could your marriage withstand that? And is that kind of political disagreement, is that grounds for divorce or breaking up with somebody? That's our Blue Water Foods poll question. 66% say no, that's not a good reason to end a relationship or get divorced. 34% say yes, it is. And you can give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. You know, it depends on the people, because politics is such a, our political views can be such a deep-rooted reflection of who we are as people. And I can see where, I mean, it sounds silly, like, well, if you don't get along politically, you get divorced. But I got to be honest with you. I don't care how attractive she was. I don't really find Kellyanne Conway to be attractive. But no matter how attractive I thought she was, I couldn't be married to somebody like that. And so I think that there are reasons to say, yeah, I mean, if there's deep, passionate political disagreement, in some cases it's okay. But in some cases, I think it would be impossible to get along. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, text 870-870. Jeff from Mid-City, welcome to our show.
Hey, Scoot. I really wasn't going to call, but listening to your last caller just scares me for this country. First of all, he has a lot of nerve saying everybody in New Orleans loves Trump.
That's right.
Excuse me. I can't stand the man. Everybody who knows me knows I don't like him. Our president is an immoral, unethical, lying, and I can't say it on the radio what I really think of him. And Kellyanne Conway is in that same basket. When everybody took offense to Hillary Clinton calling all of Trump's supporters a basket of deplorables, she knew what she was talking about.
Yeah, and she did. Yeah.
I'll say what's on my mind.
Yeah, well, Jeff, I'm glad you called about our last caller, Bobby. And, you know, I mean, Bobby was using some generalizations, and I let it go. But everybody in New Orleans doesn't love Trump. And everybody in this country doesn't hate Trump. And those were two things that came out in that conversation. From Slidell, Robert, welcome.
Hi. Very interesting topics. I just wanted to touch on music industry and artists that have passed away that I think were really before their time. I can think of Stevie Ray Vaughan, Richard Valens.
Yeah.
I believe her name was Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse.
Yes, and you have some old classic rockers, Janis Joplin.
Yeah. Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison, yeah.
Jim Morrison. I just saw the movie Bohemian, Queen. For the life of me, I can't remember that name. I saw the movie on that. So
yeah,
all those artists, yeah, I think, really impacted the music industry rather negatively. And then it's just a shame. It's a shame. I think we could have had some really great music. And who knows what could have happened if those artists were still with us.
Well, with some performers, you know, you wonder, Robert, what it would be like if they were still alive. When you think about somebody like Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix was so innovative, and he was such an anomaly because here was this African-American who, like, played this rock guitar better than any played it as good as any white guys anywhere. I mean, he was really phenomenal. And you wonder where he would have gone from there had he not died at the age of 27. And I think that of John Lennon. I really think that of somebody like Kurt Cobain, who also died at the age of 27, who had a big impact on music.
Definitely, and then it's a shame. It's really a shame, but appreciate the show. Great topics. Hopefully mine was a little lighthearted than the political one.
Thanks, Robert. I appreciate the call. Yeah, it is Friday, and I don't like to get serious on Fridays, but, you know, I really didn't want to focus on the politics of it. I wanted to focus more on the marital status of Kellyanne Conway and her husband, George, and how much they disagree in public with each other. I mean, she goes on CNN, and then he tweets right after that, basically saying, my wife's an idiot, and she's a liar, and President Trump is a liar, regardless of what my wife says. If that was your relationship, I mean, could you withstand that? And since it is Free for All Friday, we are remembering some of the things that we talked about this week, and we talked about the growing number of condos and apartments in downtown New Orleans. And this, of course, was the song that George Costanza was trying to help him remember the instructions that he was given by his boss at the New York Yankees. Gave the whole song a whole new lift. In fact, Jerry Seinfeld is at the Sanger tonight. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back on WWL. I'm serious. This is just one of those Christmas songs that just takes the Christmas spirit, sucks it right out of my body. That's Madonna. Santa Baby. I don't know. I mean, I just never thought of Santa as some kind of a sensual figure, and that's the way she makes it seem. All right, it's a free-for-all Friday on our show, Friday, December 14th. I'm Scoot in the afternoon. I'm glad you're with us. We have a lot to talk about, and, you know, keeping in the spirit of Fridays, if you're new to our show, we really try not to take anything seriously on a Friday. Try to have fun. There are a few serious things that are going to pop up here and there in the show today, but we don't get into any really heavy stuff. Try to keep it light. This is the day in 1980 that fans around the world paid tribute to John Lennon, and this was 6 days after John Lennon was shot and killed in New York City. Silent vigils were held at 1 o'clock New Orleans time for 10 minutes at the request of John Lennon's wife, his widow, Yoko Ono. So it really makes you think about the deaths, John Lennon was one of them, the deaths that really did have an impact on music. And while it's tragic when somebody dies, you can't say that everybody, every musician, every artist who dies, that their death really had an impact on music. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. If you do want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. In the next hour, we'll talk about something that's it's been on and off the news for the last, I don't know, maybe week? At least the last few days. Sesame Street is introducing a new puppet, Lily. And, well, actually, she's been on Sesame Street before, but now she's being introduced as a regular. Lily is a 7-year-old girl whose family lost their house. And she is there to help children understand what it means to be homeless. Is this a good idea? And if you think this is not a good idea, why do you think it's not a good idea? And because I know this audience so well, I know how creative you guys can be. I think we ought to think about other puppets Sesame Street might want to introduce to help teach children about real life. And, you know, I've got one to suggest right after the news at 2 o'clock. Here is a text that says, Sesame Street is not the show I grew up with. It has become a politically correct soapbox. When I heard people say Ernie and Bert were gay, I was infuriated. I do remember that controversy. So what, these guys can't be friends without being gay? I mean, neither Ernie nor Bert, they don't really exhibit the most machismo attitude and personality. But, I mean, that doesn't mean anything. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand why that would upset you. And this goes along with something we often get into. And that is that people are trying to find meaning with things that really don't have any meaning. Like the idea of Ernie and Bernie being gay was stupid. All right, we're going to talk more about this coming up in the next hour. Okay, to make up for the bad taste of Santa Baby by Madonna, here's a 90s alt band doing a classic. This is Weezer. And there's another Christmas song that has been done by almost everybody. We'll do the original coming out of this break. I'm Scoot on WWL. Man, we have played the John Bon Jovi version of this, the Eagles version, I don't know, some other version. This is the original. Charles Brown. This is the one I remember listening to in my little transistor radio as I walked around my neighborhood in Metairie, thinking that then transistor radio was the coolest thing in the world because I could leave my house, I could not be in the car, and I could just be walking around, and I could listen to any radio station I wanted to. All right, it is Friday, and we're going to let a few serious things slip in, but for the most part, we're having fun this afternoon. Michael Cohen did an interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, and it was on Good Morning America this morning, and here's part of what Michael Cohen, who's going to prison for 3 years, said about his boss, Donald Trump. So here's Michael Cohen, a guy that President Trump praised, a guy that he trusted with everything. And here's what he had to say about his boss and the people of the country and the people around the world. And apparently, the investigators, according to Michael Cohen, the investigators have information that backs up his story. And that brings us to the first thing we were talking about on the show, and that is White House advisor Kellyanne Conway battled CNN's Chris Cuomo on his primetime show this week on CNN. And Cuomo was quoting the sources saying that President Trump was at the meeting where the hush money was discussed. He was there with David Pecker from the National Enquirer, and with Michael Cohen. And so he knew very well what was going on, and he knew it was illegal. And this was right before the election. And so apparently there's some admission that this was done to affect the election. And I think that's where there may be some problems. Anyway, so Kellyanne Conway said, no, Trump has never lied about this, and he wasn't involved, and he never directed Michael Cohen to break the law. Well, the president himself has changed his mind. And this is what is difficult, and it should be difficult even for Trump supporters. I know how hard it is to be honest. And I know you try to cover these. And I guess there are some people who just think that they're so above everything that they're untouchable and that they can lie and get away with it. Because President Trump told you and me that he had nothing to do with these women. And that he had nothing to do with the payments. And now there's all this information that, well, that was a lie. And then, so then the president changes his story. And then there's more information that comes out. And then the story changes again. This has been the case with almost everything. I'm not against Donald Trump because he's a Republican. You don't even know my voting record. And I talk about so many things on this show that make me so in line with conservative ideology that if you paid attention, you would actually be listening. But I guess what scares some people is the fact that I'm a maverick moderate. I mean, I'm an independent, and I don't buy into either side. So maybe there is this degree of honesty about me compared to many others on the radio and in the media that have an agenda. I'm just being honest about a president who continues to change his story. I'm Scoot. Hang on. It's Friday. We'll be back.